A reading from the book, first book of Samuel. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. The word of the Lord.
To do you. reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what John said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said, "What are you looking for?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus, there seemed, at least in Jesus' conversion, a process where he first left home, second went down in the water, third heard the voice, and fourth responded. And you can apply that same process somewhat to Samuel in the first reading, or to Andrew and Simon in the Gospel. But let me give you some more information. All the Gospels agree that Jesus heard about the preaching of John and went the good 15, 18 miles down to the Jordan River, heard his preaching, and was baptized. Mark, Matthew, and Luke. But John adds a whole other side to this story. For John's Gospel, Jesus goes to the Jordan, hears the preaching, is baptized by John and then moves down river and begins preaching the same message John the Baptist has been and baptizing others himself. So that Jesus doesn't just come to the river and leave, but in John he stays and participates in this call for the kingdom and baptizing like John the Baptist. The scholars think that's probably more historically accurate. For John, John's gospel, Jesus and John the Baptist are not relatives. Only Luke says they're cousins. But they're heart of hearts of the same theology. They just aren't relatives. But here in John, when John the Baptist says, look, there's the Lamb of God, it's assumed that everybody who's been along the river knows who Jesus of Nazareth is. He's just, you know, he's two blocks down at the next riffle. So the followers of the Baptist respond to the Baptist's message and follow him. Because the Baptist says that's the one, so they say, okay, well, you're the rabbi, we'll follow you. So it's a different kind of twist. They weren't strangers, and it's the Baptist who really gives the call, not Jesus. When they come to Jesus, Jesus just says, what are you looking for? Good question. What are you looking for? His answer, come and see. Not here's the little red book of the sayings of Chairman Mao, or not here's a copy of the Bible. Or not, the teachings, the philosophy of Kant or something. Come and see, and I'll show you what you're looking for. Sound familiar? First, we have to leave home, and we have to go wherever he goes. And then we'll find what we're looking for. But it probably won't be what you think. Martin Luther King was 26 years old when he became pastor of a small church in Montgomery, Alabama. He'd been there less than 6 months, fresh graduate student out of Boston. And Rosa Parks, on December 1st, refused to give up her seat in the bus and is thrown in jail. The next day, December 2nd, the Ministerial Association has called a rally they asked Dr. King if they could meet at his church, and they asked him to speak. And he gave a rousing talk, to the point that on December 3rd, he becomes appointed by everybody else to be the spokesperson for the Southern Christian Leadership Group. And the bus boycott in Montgomery has begun. 6 months before, he was a graduate student. Who told Rosa Parks she could do this? So within 2 years, as a leader in Montgomery, he's starting to receive death threats at home, and his house is firebombed. And after he puts his wife and daughter to bed, he ended up at the kitchen table with his hands wrapped around a mug of coffee and had a big cry. He said, how did I get here? And he told God, I can't do this. And this is what he wrote. He said, almost out of nowhere, I heard a voice say, Martin, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. And he says he was never the same again. In a sense, that night of 1957, he died. He let go of his dream of where he was going to go and what was going to happen. And he got free. And he stood up. In 1964, he was given the Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent resistance. The next year, after the Civil Rights Bill was signed with support from President Johnson, the Leadership Institute in the South had a big discussion about their stand on the war in Vietnam. The council was to not go against the war because it was, in a sense, going against their personal friend, President Johnson. And Martin Luther King said, I can't do that. And he came out strongly against the war in Vietnam as immoral and another act of oppression. And the death threats renewed in earnest. He was asked in 1968 to come to Memphis, Tennessee, to address the sanitation workers, which were forming a protest. And there he said, well, I don't know what's going to happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter to me now. Like anybody, I'd like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And God's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing no one. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. The next day he was assassinated. All Jesus says is, what are you looking for? Come and see. And like Martin and Andrew and John, staying where Jesus stayed took them places they had no idea. But we're still talking about him. So we're invited to stand up.